This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and this morning I'm joined by three gentlemen who are involved in emergency management. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning.
Nice to see you. So I'm going to introduce you. First of all, Jimmy Catalin, our new Johnson County Emergency Management Coordinator. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's our first conversation, I hope.
We call him Marilyn Connolly 2.0.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Occasionally, or the new Marilyn.
Okay. Well, there's not much physical resemblance, I will say.
She's much better looking.
I concur.
And also Dave King and John Cranmer from Gillette, from Campbell County. Dave, you've been absolutely pivotal in preparing for this event that we're going to talk about. And it's an event that many people in our county probably have not heard of, although there has been a little bit of talk about it. It's called Camperee. Camperee 2024, and it's going to be held at the Campex in Gillette on August 5th to 11th. But it is a significant event. Dave, what can you tell us about what's happening? Because it's been in plan for about four years or more.
In that range, yes. As Campbell County Emergency Management Coordinator, my job has been a coordination function, trying to keep all the balls in the air at the same time, but it's not my direct responsibility, but yet it's been the only thing I've worked on for the last year. Camperee and its impact is going to be huge from the on all of Northeast Wyoming, from the standpoint of they're bringing in 55,000 people that have bought their tickets already.
Can I just say 55,000 people?
Yes.
That is a huge number of people.
Gillette's population is 37,000, 38,000. And Campbell County's is 47,000. So right off the top, we're going to double our population, if not triple it. Oh, by the way, did we mention this is Sturgis Week, when Sturgis has the motorcycle rally going on at the same time. And, you know, they look from year to year anywhere from several hundred thousand up into a half million participants and people there, which all of us in Northeast Wyoming that have been here more than a year have seen the bikers coming through, and we know the impact. I mean, Buffalo, Gillette, Sheridan, every one of us, Newcastle, Lusk, Torrington, everybody on the eastern part of Wyoming is a pass-through community for Sturgis. They stop, they fill up, they stretch their legs, they drive on. Because we're, you know, what are we, an hour, 2 hours apart. You're on a motorcycle for 2 hours, you're ready to stop, get off, and to refuel. Well, that is going to be happening at the same time that these people are coming in for Camperee at the Camplex on the east side of Gillette.
Can you tell us who is coming? Camperee is organized by the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yes. It's their youth program to a large extent. They have, they're broken up in the United States into unions, is what they call them. And so there's like the Atlantic Union, the Lakeside Union or something like that, or Lake Union, I think it is just straight. And then the Lake is the ones near the Great Lakes. It's the states in that area. So they're combined into these groups, and they'll be camping out together. It is youth that are ages, as I've been told, 12 to early 20s. And they'll be coming with a ratio of 1:4 to 1:8 youth and adults. So be fairly small groups in terms of who's responsible for what. But it's still a mass of people, and they are the biggest comparison I've made oftentimes has been, think of a Boy Scout jamboree. Tents, cooking out, all of that. They will cook in groups. They will be camping in groups. And doing activities in groups and all, but it is boys and girls, and it's they are a church group, and so as a result, I'm not expecting any problems about that 12-year-old bellying up to the bar and getting in a fight with a Hell's Angel, during Sturgis Week, that sort of stuff. They are very well behaved, as a matter of fact, from the reports that we've received elsewhere, but it is a religious event, and it does have, matter of fact, every night. Well, first of all, it is known, it's BTP, Believe the Promise. So if they have a focus on the story of Moses, and so There will be a nightly performance. They are bringing in the largest outdoor stage in the western United States will be put up in the new amphitheater, grassy amphitheater at the Camplex Park. They will do a nightly performance starting Tuesday night. There is a public performance on Sunday night that they'll give us a sample, and they're opening it up to the John Q. Public. Come see it, and they'll give us a sample of what they're going to be doing during the week because it's a closed event. If you're not part of their event, you're not coming on the grounds. And so the thing there is they'll be doing those nightly performances for all of the kids or all the registrants. So they'll all be clustered together in one location for that one time period each week or each day or evening, which gives me concerns of, okay, we're talking Wyoming, we're talking August, we're talking severe weather. It is a large enough event that, oh, by the way, where they're going to be at, they'll be on foot for the most part. So trying to get to cover quickly is not, it is one of those emergency planning things we look at and have been talking extensively about, and I don't have any answers to give you at this time as to a perfect solution. But like the stage I was talking about, Ed, it's coming in on 36 semis. They will then use those semis as the wings coming off of the stage on each side to help enclose it a little bit. It'll have an LED, like a huge TV on the backside. It'll have the whole performance. They will have a running river in front of the stage as part of the story of Moses. And, I mean, yes, real water. So it's a huge production.
So the whole thing is a huge production.
Oh, very much.
The whole event, the majority of campers will be staying around the complex or already, I mean, you've already described to me that hotels are already completely at capacity and so on. Gillette is going to see this massive influx, and that is going to put a big strain on businesses and resources and so on just for that period of time. And it's unfortunate that there is this collision with the Sturgis traffic too.
Even without Sturgis, it would still be huge. But the problem we run into is the splatter effect outside of Campbell County.
And that's really what we're here to talk about, is what is the potential impact going to be on Johnson County? Jimmy, what are you planning for?
Well, I mean, like, summertime here, it's already a pretty heavy tourist time. A lot of people come through Buffalo. Just, you know, perusing websites and looking to see what hotels and what there is to book. There's not much at this point, and there hasn't been. I was checking this out the moment I heard about this event when I came on board in January, and there was very few rooms left, and what was left was just absolutely astronomically expensive. And so I know there are people that come to the camporee, workers or you know, volunteers or people attending that are staying here. The things I'm looking at and considering is, you know, what about the families who are maybe dropping a child off at this and maybe not really attending it or maybe only going one day? What are they doing the rest of their time? The other thing I've been really harping on with people around here is, what about Campbell County residents that maybe realize this is happening and say, that's the week we're going to go on vacation, we're going to go to the Bighorns?
And there's been a number of people saying that in social media and so forth.
Exactly.
That is their plan, is to leave town.
Exactly. Or beyond, you know, in effect, and we're just the pass-through. You know, we're one of the two really primary gateways, and I'd probably argue we're the primary gateway, with just 14-second us going out of Sheridan, to go to Yellowstone. And if you're going to come to Wyoming once in your life, you're going to Yellowstone. So those things are things that I'm looking at, but I'm really just kind of on a major education campaign through the community, just trying to get out in front of things, you know, whether it be Chamber of Commerce or talking to different groups. You know, anytime I've met with any group and it's totally unrelated, I take 5 minutes to start talking about the camporee because it's just somebody else that'll listen to me about it, to the point where I think some people are getting sick of hearing about it, but I'm going to keep talking about it. The plan, you know, in the next month or so, I'd like to wait till after Memorial Day, but I don't want to wait too long. But typically that's really the time when you're kind of safe weather-wise out here and you don't have to worry about a blizzard as much. But I really want to get out on foot and kind of hit all of our businesses, go to all of our, you know, fueling locations, anybody who's got consumables, particularly, because in my mind, knowing that Sturgis is happening, more than likely, when they run out of consumables in Campbell County, and I'm not predicting that they will, but I have to think worst case scenario, they're going to head this way. They're going to come here first, they're going to go to Shared, and they're going to go to Casper.
I mean, I've got a choice from Gillette. I can drive for an hour and 15 minutes to Buffalo, or I can drive 2 hours to Sheridan, 2 hours to Casper.
Right.
Just exactly what he said. Where's my first choice?
Right.
Gillette has been preparing for quite some time, and I know that the Walmart...
It's ramping up.
Yeah.
It's not 100% preparing. That's the...
Walmart has previously had experience when Campari was in Oshkosh in Wisconsin. They have a lot of experience, and so they have put people on site and are preparing and so on. And so Walmart is the obvious place that many people will go, but it's not exclusively where people will go. And there seem to be a number of different areas that this is going to touch. There's one, just people need water, people need food, people need, you know, just those regular consumables that we use every day, and there's going to be more of a pull on those. But they're also here to be tourists and to enjoy themselves. We're expecting 55,000 people. Most of them will be domestic, but many of them may never have been to this part of the world and will take advantage, as you say, Jimmy, of kind of being in the Wild West, or maybe they've seen something on a Netflix show or something and they think, oh, we'll add an extra few days and we'll take an extra tour. And
I'll give you an example. I have some cousins that several years back, they're from Illinois. They were visiting family in Washington State. And they were planning on coming by and howdying with us. And then they were also planning on, as they were coming back from Washington State, they were going to hit the Black Hills during Sturgis Week.
Huh.
I convinced them they should hit it on their way out rather than... That's, you know, they had no idea Sturgis was going on. It was nowhere in their scope or their realm. So we'll have John Q. tourists trying to come through. And I don't know about you, but you're towing that camper late at night. You're trying to find someplace... And you just ran into about a 150-mile circle that you have both Sturgis and now you have Campari, and Buffalo's within that circle. So you're going to have people probably pulling over in the nearest flat gravel spot and spending the night if they can.
And we also know that not only people are going to come and be enjoying themselves and wanting to experience the things that this area has to offer, but we also know that accidents happen and we may have more call on our emergency services or our first responders.
Right.
Law enforcement, maybe there'll be more wrecks. You know, maybe there'll be, you know, people get sick unexpectedly and maybe need an ambulance service, or there may be more need in our ER, or they may need a hospital, or, you know, there are lots of things to consider in that. It's not just that they may be coming and spending more or needing gas and so on. What is happening to kind of prepare for that?
Well, from the emergency services standpoint, we've been taking a lot of looks at this, and the medical world is very heavily plugged into it. Campari is hoping, and I say hoping because they've run into some licensing issues of nurses from other states coming in, but they could have as many as 200 people in their medical tent a day helping to provide medical services. Their medical tent is going to be providing boo-boo services. They might give a shot if a kid has to have a regular shot, something like that, they'd have to be medically licensed. But, you know, you fall down, get skinned up, they will have EMTs on the ground with carts and a gurney mounted on it so they can at least transport. Campbell County Health will have two ambulances staged on the grounds under contract and will be able to provide transport for those that need to go to the hospital. A major concern is we don't want the people at Campari who can't find medical help otherwise showing up at the emergency room. Because, I mean, I'm in Buffalo. I don't have a doctor here. I don't know what to do, and I'm now needing medical assistance. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to the ER or a walk-in clinic if there's one or something like that. The hospital is worried about that overflow, 55, 60,000 new people that could be coming in for services. There were roughly 30 a day sought treatment at hospitals in Oshkosh their last year there, according to the statistics the hospital's been able to find. So when you look at that, they want to handle as much of the minor medical on the grounds as possible. But then that's going to cause an overflow. Oh, by the way, that during that week I'm mowing my lawn, and now I burn myself badly because I spilled gas and started myself on fire. Now I have to compete with all these other people for medical services, you know, that normally I live five blocks from the hospital. So it's one of those things of, these are the planning concerns we've been looking at. And then let's take worst case scenarios. Wyoming, summer, August, hail. If we had somebody dropping softballs on Camplex, and these kids are all out there and they're in tents, oh, by the way, the tents aren't probably going to survive real well. And I keep pointing out to everybody, it's not just the Camplex. North of Camplex is a mobile home court and a housing subdivision. South of Camplex is a residential area. John lives in the residential area to the south there. He's going to be impacted. But if you drop a lot of very large hailstones down and you injure a number of people, then you now have created a mass casualty incident that we're going to have to deal with. And if you've got 30 badly injured patients out there, they're going to have to be transported, some of them, to other communities. And they have to go to a hospital of equal or greater capability. So we are looking at possibly Sheridan, transporting from Gillette to Sheridan. Otherwise, you're talking Casper, Billings, Cheyenne, maybe Scotts Bluff, or Denver.
Rapid?
Rapid is out of the picture. It's Sturgis week. Rapid is busy already. So is Spearfish, which could be another transport. So it's one of those that we're looking west, north, and south when we're talking transporting patients. Oh, by the way, let's talk about the mechanics of that. I have 30 critically injured patients. They're at the hospital in Gillette, and most of them have to be sent out because we can only handle 6 to 10 in the ICU with the beds they have. So I'm looking at transporting them. I put one patient on an ambulance with two attendants, one driving with the other one in the back, and put them in the ambulance and drive them to Casper. It's 2 hours down, it's 2 hours back, and you probably will lose another hour of packaging the patient, putting them into the ambulance, getting them to the out of the ambulance, and then the ambulance being able to come back. I lost that ambulance for 5 hours for one patient. So you multiply that on up in a mass casualty scenario. Let's say the bus coming to Camporee turns over in Buffalo, and now Johnson County's resources are having to respond to a 55-passenger bus accident. Things happen, and unfortunately, Jimmy and I are in the business of going, the sky is going to fall someday. We have to be ready for it. Now, we're really hoping for the best, but planning for the worst. And that's the problem of what I mentioned is the splatter effect. It's not going to be confined only in Campbell County. All these people going to Yellowstone. Gee, do you guys have any truck turnouts up on the mountain? Because trucks in a normal course sometimes have bad days. It comes down to you've got the same situation with people coming, and they're from flatland areas, and now they're driving mountain roads. And when that happens, Johnson County is going to be expected to respond. So these are all those considerations we have to look at. I know in previous Sturgis years, Sheridan and Buffalo have run out of gas. Now I just added 60,000 more people. Not all of them, obviously, will be coming through here, but a chunk of them will, and they're going to probably be fueling up. I'd fuel up before I went over the mountain. I mean, it's just one of those precautions. So this is some of that impact the whole thing can have that we want people to be aware of. It's, you know, the first part of emergency planning is to think about planning. Because you actually started thinking about the incident, you've started a little bit of planning. You haven't drilled down into it real deeply on some of the things that we've talked about here and that we're still working on. But it is one of those, the other one we've got a problem with, that many people coming in. During National High School Finals Rodeo last year, and actually the previous year too, 15,000 additional people in the community. Cell phone service kept going, busying out on the grounds out there and in the surrounding area. They were swamping the cell phone service there. You just brought in 60,000 people, and I'll guarantee you most of them are going to have a cell phone, and you just added to that load. I need to call out to Camplex using a cell phone to reach somebody with a cell phone for emergency purposes, and it's busying out on both of us. It's going to be landline, it's going to be radios, and that sort of thing is how we're going to be able to communicate because, if you're out there, you might be able to get through if you dial 911 on your cell phones to reach emergency services because that's a different part of the cell band that hopefully is still functioning when the regular cell bands aren't.
So, Jimmy, what do we know about cell service in Johnson County? Is it going to be impacted by that? I don't know anything about the connectivity services.
I have not really dug into that a whole lot right now. I attend the monthly meetings that we have for Campery. Verizon's very actively involved in it, and some of this is assuming, which, you know, what people say about that, but I would think Verizon, if they had concerns about Johnson, might be saying something to me, but it'd probably be worth digging into, just to verify.
And we do know that at various times, I mean, Longmire Days is an obvious one. We do know when we have visitors into town, you know, it can be harder to get on your cell service.
Well, they're going to build infrastructure to handle what a normal load's going to be. So, you know, what a normal load is in Buffalo is not going to be what a normal load is going to be in Cheyenne, you know, for like Frontier Days, for instance, or just in Cheyenne in general. So it wouldn't take much likely to overload what we have here. There are capabilities that exist to deal with some of those things, putting cellular towers on wheels, but most of that stuff's going to be over in Campbell County.
We'll have one, but they're going to have a whole bunch of them over in the Sturgis area and filling in the hills and so forth, the holes in the hills. By the way, August, we're talking fire season.
Yeah.
A lot of those resources get sucked up for the large wildland fires and so forth. Maybe not in Wyoming, but they... for example, the Verizon lady that I've been talking to ever since I started screaming out phone dropouts with the rodeo last year, when they told me that everything was ready to go and we wouldn't have any problems after 2 years ago. But the lady I've been talking with Verizon's out of Denver. She's not sure she'll be able to be there because she's off doing other emergencies around the western United States. Their people get spread all over.
And that's really what we're describing, isn't it? Impact. Mm-hmm. This is all about impact, and you want to encourage people in our community to think about impact. I think it's worth mentioning as well that our county fair and rodeo finishes just the night before,
right,
on the 4th. Right. And so that previous week when we would expect it, we would be expecting Campery attendees to be there most of that week of the 5th to the 11th, but it's on either side of that that we also need to be thinking about,
right,
impact.
Or you're going to have, this isn't just a 6-day deal where it's August 5th to 11th. You're going to have people traveling here the week before, the people traveling the week after. You might have people that are, you know, using the week in front and after to tour this state and tour the area. Regardless, it's not just those 6 days. We're talking a 3-week spread at least that we're going to have all that stuff going on. And Buffalo's, you know, in July, we've got Longmire Days that are happening. We've got, like you said, our fair and rodeo. The Sturgis is going on. Look at Sturgis alone. You got guys that ride motorcycles from the all across the country to go to Sturgis. I know guys that will stop in Buffalo for 2-3 days before they finish the ride over to Sturgis because they know people here. So I would say when you're talking Campery, like I said earlier, if you're somebody who's, you know, lived in Maryland your entire life and know the East Coast but never really come this way, maybe gone to California and done that stuff but never really spent any time in the West like this, you're going to take advantage of it because it's probably the only time you're going to come here. And you're going to want to see everything you can while you're here because you're probably not going to come back.
And it may be that it's not, maybe you have a couple of kids and you send your kids off to the Campery event.
Exactly.
And then you meet them afterwards, or you meet them, or you stay here while they do that. I mean, there could be lots of satellite visitors as well who just,
right,
come because that event gives them a hook.
That's where I would think you're going to have a lot of people in the Buffalo area, the Sheridan area, because they're going to save something big, like Rushmore or Devil's Tower or Yellowstone. They're going to save those for when their kids are probably not at the Camperee, but they're going to do the Occidental Hotel. You know, they might go to Custer's Last Stand or whatever. They might go to visit, like, Hole in the Wall because it's, you know, it's locally more accessible and maybe it's not the really big stuff that, like, your kids got to see Yellowstone. You know, my teenagers don't care about the Occidental Hotel like I do. So, but they do care about Yellowstone. They do care about Devil's Tower, you know.
And Dave, you made a good point to me earlier, I think, which is that we're also going to see people who are going to evacuate from Gillette, especially during that period, who want to. It's going to be hot anyway. It's a hot and, you know, not very pleasant time of year by August. And, you know, they'll want to come and evacuate and play on the mountain, which must seem like an oasis compared to what will be happening in Gillette at that point. So we need to anticipate that there will be a lot of, not necessarily Camperee visitors, but maybe more local visitors who know the area already and so on and know that they can come and the mountain may be busier. And they also may also want to not go shopping and buy their groceries and their supplies and so on in Gillette, where it could be a bit of a scrum. They want to do that on their way through.
Right. Well, and you got, like, you know, we have our one sporting goods store downtown, you know, and then you're going to have people buying licenses to go up on the mountain and fish. You're going to have, you know, people are going to want to hit all the antique shops and all the little mom and pop shops and do all that stuff too. The thing about the Camperee, whether they're involved in the event or attached to the event, or they're just somebody getting away from it because they live in Campbell County, it's a really good business opportunity. It's a really good opportunity for businesses to, you know, have a, you know, benefit from that and sales, where you probably wouldn't have nearly that kind of push that you would have, you know, with just the Sturgis traffic. It's weird to be able to say just Sturgis traffic, you know, but that's the reality of it. That's really what it is. So,
well, gentlemen, thank you for putting this in front of us. And there's a lot to think about. If you're a business owner, there's a lot of opportunity. There's lots of logistics to think about. If you are a provider, any kind of service in this community, there's also something maybe to think about there and how you are going to respond. Jimmy, should people call you, or is there some kind of other coordinator here in Johnson County?
No, I'm the only one here, and I'm perfectly fine fielding calls. And like I said, I'm kind of going on an information campaign, and I have been talking with, you know, our law enforcement partners, and you know, the commissioners are aware of it. You know, it's not a totally under the radar event. I think some people have heard about it but don't realize the scope of it. But I'm always happy to talk with people about it, and I have a slideshow I put together that is kind of started for the Chamber of Commerce, but it's been made generically enough to really go out to anybody that wants to have me come down and talk to them about it.
So. And I will also post the link to camperee.org, which actually is for the attendees and so on, but you get a pretty good idea of what's going to happen at the event, and that will maybe give you also an idea of how to plan and prepare for that. But I think the bottom line is that probably avoid Gillette August 5th to 11th.
I would start about a week earlier.
And I've also been telling people around here that I have spoken to about it. You know, if you go to Gillette to do, you know, to Walmart to go do your shopping there, you know, go to Smith's, or if you go to Sheridan, up to, those are probably going to be fairly well impacted to the point where it might be more difficult to get some of your regular weekly shopping things. You might want to stock up a couple weeks ahead of time so you're not missing those opportunities.
Well, especially health and beauty aids, because I understand my wife works at Walmart, and she says they'll clean out HBA in a day.
A lot of them coming, especially from overseas, may come with one bag and leave with three. And they may clean out the over-the-counter prescription or non-prescription drugs because it's hard to get in their country. They can make some money on taking it back. We talk about that during normal tourist season. You get some foreign groups coming in, and they go crazy over jeans or Levi's. You know, it's such an expensive thing there, and here it's like you're paying what for a pair of pants? It's the same thing as what John just mentioned. All of those kinds of products that we consider normal course of the day may be gone that week.
So we need to think about ourselves in visitor eyes, not familiar as familiar as we are with just the way we live and what we take for granted.
Well, not just that, but think about when you go on vacation and well, half the time you're like, I got to go to the store and get this because I didn't bring it or I didn't think about it. You have that, but on a much larger scale here.
Sunscreen.
Exactly.
Huh? I mean, how many people want to put sunscreen, enough sunscreen for a whole trip in their bag? They think, I'll buy more when I get there.
That's one of the weather things that we've been trying to point out to them too, and that is, how do you pack for Wyoming in August? And I've provided them a number of pieces of information about our weather and the averages and so forth. But stop and think about it. At nighttime, even in August, it cools down at night. If I'm coming from Florida, I'm going to be freezing at night. I was in Yellowstone several years back, and it was getting a little bit of the rainy, cloudy. I was feeling really bad for the people that had never been there, and this was their one trip there, and they couldn't see anything hardly. But my wife and I bought coats. And we had taken lighter jackets, but it was so cold. I can't imagine what some of these other people that were from all over that are, I mean, they come from much warmer climate and so forth. And number one, they're having trouble breathing the air. And number two, now they're freezing. And that was during the daytime there. But it's one of those of, we don't understand how sensitive people who do not live in our weather conditions are to that dip at night. And that's why I love living in Wyoming, is nighttime, there's only about a week out of the year that it's so hot you can't sleep with the window open. Or getting a blow, the wind blowing in. But the thing that you run into with the weather differences, and that's one thing that we've been pushing with the information to them too, is they aren't used to our dry humidity. And so they don't, I'm not sweating, so I don't need to drink a lot of water and so forth. That's one of the things we've really been pushing on the information, and they will push all week, is stay hydrated, because you don't realize you're sweating, but it's drying out so fast that you're not realizing that you're depleting your resources.
And of course, elevation, that's right. The other thing as well.
Well, and you don't want to say the W word when you talk about weather, but there is that here where people don't understand what that can really be like here.
Huh? You know?
So many things to think about. Thank you for putting
If you
this
live
on.
In Moorcroft, hope for a wind event to come through Gillette, because you'll get a free tent.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for bringing campery to our attention and some of the things that we need to think about. I'm sure we'll have another conversation about this as we get a little closer. But, Jimmy, I wish you well with your preparations.
Thank you.